Blog Talk Radio.
Shock of what happened here 7 days ago has for many county employees turned into the fear that somehow it might happen again. To put the available pieces to this story together, one must go back in time, beginning with last Friday's 34-minute ordeal, recorded by photographers Jim Keene and Roger Bachrath in the San Rafael Independent Journal.
Come in and control the economy of your community. Control the housing, control the education, control the jobs, control the businesses under the pretext that you want to integrate. No, you're out of your mind. The political, the economic philosophy of black nationalism only means that we have to become involved in a program of re-education. To educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer, the community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a run-down community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar out. And you and I are in a double trap because not only do we lose by taking our money someplace else and spending it, when we try and spend it in our own community, we're trapped because we haven't had sense enough to set up stores and control the businesses of our community. The man who's controlling the stores in our community is a man who doesn't look like we do. He's a man who doesn't even live in the community. So you and I, even when we try and spend our money in the block where we live or the area where we live, we're spending it with a man who, when the sun goes down, takes that basket full of money in another part of the town. So we're trapped, double trapped, triple trapped. Anywhere we go, we find that we're trapped. And every kind of solution that someone comes up with is just another trap. But the political and economic philosophy of black nationalism The economic philosophy of black nationalism shows our people the importance of setting up these little stores and developing them and expanding them into larger operations. Woolworth didn't start out big like they are today. They started out with...
Need a spot where we can kick it, spot where we belong, that's just for us. This ain't gotta get all dressed up and be Hollywood. You know what I mean? Where the go when we die? Ain't no heaven for a thug. That's why we go to Thug Mansion. That's the only place where thugs getting free, and you gotta be a G at Thug Mansion. A place to spend my quiet night. Time to unwind, so much pressure in this life of mine. I cried times I once contemplated and would have tried, but when I held that, all I could see was my mama's eyes. No one knows my struggle, they only see the trouble. Not knowing it's hard to carry on when no one loves you. Picture me inside the misery of poverty. No man alive has ever witnessed struggles I survived. Praying hard for better days, promise to hold on. Me and my dogs ain't have a choice but to roll on. We found a finally spot to kick it, where we could drink liquor and no one pick us over trick. A spot where we can peace. And even though we G's, we still visualize places that we can roll a piece. And in my mind's eye, I see this place. The players going fast. I got a spot for us all, so we can ball at Thug Mansion.
Every corner, every city, there's a place where life's a little easy. Little hands back and cool. Every hour, cause it's all good. Leave all the stress from the world outside. Every wrong done will be alright.
I wanna go.
Nothing but peace.
I wanna go. A place where death doesn't reside, just thugs who collide, not to start beef. No cops rolling by, no policemen, no homicide, no chalk in the streets, no reason for nobody's mama to cry. See, I'm a good guy, I'm trying to stick around for my daughter. But if I should die, I know all of my album support her. This whole year's been crazy, ask the Holy Spirit to save me. Only difference from me and Ozzy Davis, gray hair maybe. Cause I feel like my eyes saw too much suffering. I'm just 20 some odd years, I done lost my mother and I cry tears of joy. I know she smiles on a boy, I dream of you more. My love goes to Afeni Shakur, cause like Ann Jones, she raised the ghetto king in a war, and just for that alone she shouldn't feel no pain no more. Cause one day we'll all be together sipping heavenly champagne where angels soar with golden wings and Thug Mansion.
Every corner, every city, there's a place where life's a little easy. Little Hennessy, we're back and cool. Every hour, cause it's all good.
Thug Mansion,
stress from the world outside.
Your baby boy's doing good. Tell the homies I'm in heaven and they ain't got hood. Seen a show with Marvin Gaye last night. It had me shook, dripping peppermint snot with Jackie Wilson and Sam Cooke. Then some lady named Billie Holiday sang, sitting there kicking it with Malcolm till the day came. Little Tasha show grown. Tell a lady in the liquor store that she forgiven, so come home. Maybe in time you understand, only God can save us. When Miles Davis cutting loose with the band, just think all the people that you knew in the past that passed on, they in heaven found peace at last. Picture a place that they exist together. There has to be a place better than this in heaven. So right before I sleep, dear God, wear a mask and remember this face. Save me a place in Thug Mansion.
Remember
this face. Save me a place in Thug Mansion. Up in Thug Mansion.
I got to explain to you also your soul, your needs, your political desires and needs, because that is Huey's soul. When we first organized the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, he would say, Bobby, he says, we're going to draw up a basic platform, just basic, that black people can read. He says, we don't want to go real elaborate with all these essays and dissertations and all this stuff, because the brother going to look at that and he say, man, I ain't got time for that. I got to go see what I can do for myself. He said, just a basic platform that the mothers who struggle hard to raise us that the fathers who worked hard, that the young brothers in school who come out of school semi-illiterate, you say we want freedom, we want power to determine the destiny of our black community, full employment for our people. Number three, we want housing fit, decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. Number four, we want all black men to be exempt from military service. Number five, we want decent education for our black people in our community that teaches us the true nature of this decadent racist society, and to teach black people and our young black brothers and sisters their place in society, because if they don't know their place in society and in the world, they can't relate to anything else. Number six, we want an end to the robbery by the white racist businessmen of black people and black people in their communities. Number seven, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. Number eight, we want all black men held in county, state, federal jails and prisons to be released because they have not had a fair trial, because they've been tried by all white juries, and that's just like being tried in Germany being a Jew. Number eight, we want black people, number nine, when brought to trial, to be tried by members of their peers, and a peer being one who comes from the same economic, social, religious, historical, and racial background. If the United States government and the courts and the local courts did this, they would have to choose black people from the black community to sit up on the jury. They'd have to choose some of the mothers who've been working 20 years in Miss Ann's kitchen scrubbing floors like my mother done. They have to choose some of them hard-working fathers. They have to choose some of those brothers who stand on the block out there wondering where they're going to get a gig. They're going to have to choose these black people. And number 10, he would say, let's just summarize it. We want housing, we want clothing, we want education, we want justice, and we want peace. This is a basic platform. In case you never knew it or not, of all the things that you've heard in the press, of all the derogatory statements that's been made in the press about Brother Huey P. Newton and I, of all these derogatory statements to guide you away from seeing this basic platform that Huey was talking about for his own people. We have to learn to look through the white press. We have to learn to see what's going on. Now, out of this platform, Huey P. Newton realized that it was necessary for us to start working on these points, these 10 points, practically. Remember number seven? We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. This is very, very important. And here, whether you know it or not, is where you start dealing with the black revolution. When Huey says, every black man put a shotgun in your home. And once we let the man know, say, look, we armed from block to block, and we're going to patrol you from our windows. And we're not going to have you brutalizing none of our people in the streets. Do you realize what kind of power black people have then? Because you begin to neutralize that police force, because them cops are going to start riding shaky and scared. In fact, we're in a position then to demand that they withdraw from our community because they occupy our community just like a foreign troop occupies territory. Very important to understand. We hate cops beating black people over their heads and murdering them. That's what we hate. If you got enough energy to sit down and hate a white person just because of the color of his skin, you're wasting a lot of energy. You better take that same energy and put it in some motion out there and start dealing with those oppressive conditions, and you're going to find out just what you hate and what you're going to stop. Black people, we are organizing to stop racism. You dig it? When you stop racism, you stop brutality and murder of black people by the racist occupying army in our black community. That's what we're going to stop. What's being done to us? You dig it? Can you dig the white power structure and this racist police force and how they've escalated the situation? That before Watts, there was 1,300 cops.
Now there's 6,000 cops patrolling black people. That in Oakland they had 350 cops just 3.5 years ago. Now they got 1,000 cops patrolling black people. San Francisco's double its police force, and every area, major metropolis where black people live all across this country, they've doubled, tripled, and quadrupled their police force, equipped them with tanks, all kinds. We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
Mother, so-and-so and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the group is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't want no computer chip in my arm. I don't want to die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon, pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? Big corporations, the pigs or the media? Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. There's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed Huey cause they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey cause you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda. KKK, IRA.
a great understanding, and that we try to extend this to the general black population, and also people, oppressed people all over the world. And I think that we differ from some other groups simply because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
Consciousness. Without human consciousness, there is no world. It is the presence of human consciousness that brings meaning into the world. Without human beings in this world, conscious human beings in this world, in effect, there would not be a world. We bring the world into being through our consciousness. And through our consciousness, we create the world we live in. Out of the totality of reality, our consciousness cuts out a world that befits itself. In other words, the kind of world you exist in reflects the kind of consciousness that you have. And notice, if you change your consciousness or change your values and orientation, you enter into a different world. You interact with different people. People often that you didn't even know existed in the world. Social situations that you might not have even recognized until you entered into a new level of consciousness. You see people, say, for instance, who become addicted, say, to crack or something, and now enter into a whole world and enter into a whole social system that before they became addicted, they hardly noticed. They didn't know what it was all about. And they picked up new friends and new relations, whole new ways of acting, whole new purposes in life. They lost old friends, broke with old families, all kinds of things. In other words, the consciousness, that addictive consciousness, brought into the world a new foreground and put other things into the background. Therefore, man's consciousness is a creative act. And the kind of consciousness you have will determine the kind of world you create. And consequently, when you look at the world that we live in, African people, we must recognize to a great extent it is a world of our own creation. It is a world that has been generated by the type of consciousness we've been permitted to be instilled in us as a people.
Night and night defines the day. It's all hard work and no play. More than combat, it's all beyond that. Cause I got a kill or be killed kind of attack. Areas mapped out to be no Chichito. Me and my platoon make a room wherever we go. But what are we here for? Who's on the other side of the war? Somebody give the president a call. But I hear warfare scream through the air. Back to the battlegrounds before they declare a desert storm. Let's see who reigns supreme. Something like Monopoly, a government scheme. Go to the army, be all you could be. Another dead soldier, hell no, not me. So I start letting off ammunition in every direction. A law is my only protection. But wait a minute, Saddam Hussein prays the same. And this is Asia from where I came. I'm on the wrong side, so change the target. Shooting at the general, and where's the sergeant? Blame it on John Hody Hawkins for bringing me to America. Now it's mass hysteria. I get a rush when I see blood dead bodies on the floor. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. The war is over, but now at least, just because they lost, it don't mean it's peace. It's a long way home, it's a lot to think about. Whole generation left in doubt. Innocent families killed him to miss. It'll be more dead people after this. So I'm glad to be alive and walking. Half of my platoon came home in coffins. Except the general buried in the storm. And bits and pieces, no need to look for him. I played it slick and got away with it. Picked it up so they would think they did it. Now I'm home on reserves and you can bet when they call, I'm going AWOL. Cause there ain't no way I'm going back to war. When I don't know who or what I'm fighting for. So I wait for terrorists to attack. Every time a truck backfires, I fire back. I look for shelter when the plane is over me. Remember Pearl Harbor, New York will be over, G. Kamikaze, strapped to bomb. No peace in the east, they won't prevent what's a dawn. Get out here, gunshots and thunder. No time for wonder, somebody.
This young lady right there.
Now, you're right, of course, the black people are in the worst. They have had the worst treatment. But isn't it also possible that if the white people, the poor people, the people down in my neighborhood, the white people, those that don't work, those that are on welfare, those that have nothing, and they got together too, and you help us, we'll help you. You help us get up there. You help us get rid of some of these people that are pressing down on us.
No, I say you should be just as active in your neighborhood as we're trying to, as you have been in our neighborhood.
Is that possible? All right,
we
get our neighborhood going for something. We alone, there are too few of us. There are too many men up there with all their
cop cars
and everything.
That's what they're always telling you. Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinion. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So, how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are. And how this they are and how that they are. So a mistake is made on your part when you think that white people suffer the same as black people. Or as many Jews will say, well, we're a minority too. Or the Irish will say, well, we used to be a minority. No one's a minority like we are. They didn't need civil rights legislation to solve any other minority problems. It didn't take a civil war to solve any other minority problems. It didn't take Supreme Court decisions to solve any other minority problem or legislation. It takes none of that other kind of that action to solve the minority problems of these other people. The only real minority in
Black Power, Black Power, Black Nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People weekly Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chair, Nat Turner, co-host myself, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and our engineers on the ones and twos, National Minister of Communications, calling each and every Tuesday night. Same black police, same black 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, the stay-back murder of Jaheim McMillan. We're going to open up our lines to our national chairman, Matt Turner. Black Power, comrade, can you hear me?
Black Power. Right on, right on. Yeah, I'm out in the open, man, tonight. You know what I'm saying? You straight up trying a little something new on the move. But, another show, as usual, political education, you know, as far as we concerned, we believe and understand from a historical perspective, you know, that black people's problems not necessarily going to change unless there's an elevation in consciousness, which lead to an elevation in action. The material conditions, that drive these hardcore concrete realities that we face every day. You know what I'm saying? That we are challenged with on a daily basis collectively as a people in this country. You know, so we're constantly afflicted with various hardships, chemical warfare, biological warfare. People understand as the drug war, the fight against cancer, poverty, the usual that we have been subject to in this country since the ending of physical slavery. And we connect the dots. You know, we're not just just speaking haphazardly. A lot of times when the average person, as far as we concern, our people, instinctually, we understand this shit. You know, we got an idea. Some of these things may not seem connected at first glance. Right off hand, but we can connect the whole shit together like gumbo, you know what I'm saying? So tonight's topic is an example of what I want to get into as far as I remember Malcolm X, brave and bold speakers who were not afraid to speak the truth, but truth to power. And of course, there's certain types of terminologies that are used to describe what we've been through as a people. And I remember, you were talking about, in the hells of America, in the belly of the beast, so to speak. It's an array of things, that trying to put it in the proper context of the, but just in the rare things that we constantly have to face, every day in this country. The conditions are so rotten, the conditions are so cold, fucked up, in other words, and I try not to, use, profanity like talking about it, but political terms when we speak in such terms like the word nigga and whatnot. But here we have the war against black men. What we understand as war, not as the usual orthodox view of war, when people used to seeing somebody in military paraphernalia holding a whatever automatic weapon or whatever rifle, whatever, in some war pose against some other country or whatever army. But this is a war in this country against black men. And so we want to just, we've mentioned the stay-back murder, the execution, the legal execution. And we very clear on these terminologies to describe what we're talking about here. Some people say, a police officer fatally shot Jaheim McMillan. A police officer killed another young black man. No. We say that the state back pig, and I've learned coming up understanding these clear terminology to do the relationship that we have with the so-called state. And what is the state? Once again, the state is the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. And if you take the politician and the businessman from the political realm to the corporate realm, these Fortune 500 companies, who trade every day on what's referred to as Wall Street. And even Wall Street is connected to the African Holocaust in this country. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, if you take the politician and the businessman specifically and focus on that, we come into another adversarial view of things when it comes to black people under the guise of fascism. Sometimes you may hear certain of us who are revolutionaries speaking in these terms that we believe are proper terms, snatching the narrative back or getting in control of the narrative of the usual orthodox view of things when it comes to the things that happen to black people and how black people have been trained to go about it, use the terminologies and whatnot. And history has clearly shown is that anytime a people become subjected to extreme amounts of oppression and seek to some type of freedom or whatnot, they've had to enter realms that they usually have not been forced to go to, or the usual response to things that take place. But history is clearly our best evidence. History is clearly gives us the best understanding, the greatest understanding to this shit. You see what I'm saying? But here's a young man named Jaheim McMillan who was, according to the news, was fatally shot outside of a Family Dollar as a result of some so-called some young guys in the vehicle, whatever, whatnot, at a gas station, wherever, a convenience store, had weapons and recklessly waving weapons or whatnot at in the vicinity, whatnot. So a call was put out, and the PAs show up on the scene. And this thing about the youth breaking out, running or fleeing or whatever, and Jaheim is giving some type of order to stop doing what he's doing or obey the command to freeze, so to speak, you know. And he didn't follow command and turned toward his officer with a weapon in his hand, and so this pig shot. You know, I've read a number of the reports, even in some of these electronic news reports or articles themselves, sometimes we don't realize carry their own contradictions. But there were witnesses also in the vicinity and on the scene that tell a different story. And the witnesses are very clear. They're very precise on what they seen. You know, since we just going over the backdrop, to the story. As always, and should be expected, the police have their always going to have their version, and that's the usual shit. You know what I'm saying? And anybody understand the nature of the real role of the police wouldn't have a problem. Some of us don't clearly understand the role of the police, and so we feel that our duty, our responsibility, our job, as certain of our elders that came before us, to explain the real role, the real reason of the police, within society, under the type of particular so-called government or system under which we live, under which we operate, under which we're subjugated. As a still displaced nation of people of African descent, the descendants of the Africans who were brought here violently, snatched ripped from the womb violently. Country was founded and established on violence. Its founders rioted and resorted to violence to achieve their goal, means to an end, and that became known as the spirit of 7-6, the American Revolution. Which allowed them to free themselves from the hands of their oppressor, who it was under tyranny. And so now they've gotten themselves in a lofty position now I've had to resort to the same type of tyranny that they were accusing their oppressor of. And so this is a historical phenomenon. It's a historical phenomenon. Very clear on this shit. There's nothing that we have to make up or fantasize about or stay stuck in the past. It's reality. It's our everyday reality. You know, there's no way in the world that we could disconnect our experience in this country and then turn around and try to understand why these incidences of black men with these deadly encounters with the so-called police. You see, so here's one of the latest over the past year, young man line, 15 years old, had his life snatched from him. Murder, and what we believe, you know, what we understand is a stay-back murder of Jaheim McMillan, execution-style murder. Now, of course, we spoke about the witness. Now, according to the witnesses say that Jaheim never had a weapon and that he was shot. His hands was up. He had never had a weapon, and he never turned toward this pig with no weapon, and he was disobeying some command to put down his weapon or what have you. However, they want to tell the story. There's video footage. And there's video footage, to our understanding, has been withheld from the family for quite some time. So the family had a grievance with the so-called police. They had not released the video if the story of what pig was, and by the way, we always have to, give the name, pig, Kenny Nassau, and let me say this here too, to be clear, those who have a problem with the word pig, it's simply a matter of fact, the relationship that black people have had with the police. Initially we were told that the police was here to serve and protect, coming out of the Jim Crow era. The vehicles, I don't know if this is in every state or every city, but some of us have seen, or we've become so socialized with seeing this riding on the side of these police cruisers that save, serve and protect, and so we had been accustomed to that. We had been led to believe in the police, that the police was here to serve and protect us. But during the 50s and the 60s, the Black Panther Party, the emergence of the Black Panther Party in 1966 in October, had clearly come to the understanding and realization that the police could not possibly be here to protect us because we didn't know anything. And so the Black Panther Party had put it in proper perspective what the police role really is within society. Unfortunately, there have been those who have come in our midst. And have failed to properly educate us, properly get us to understand, such things as capitalism and what the system is predicated on. You see what I'm saying? And so it was never really taught to us what this government is and how it is to be defined. What we've usually been told is that we live in a democracy and that this is a democratic system. Where people have the right to express their grievances under the so-called Constitution, the highest law of the land. And this Constitution is supposed to protect our rights, our right to bear arms, right to free speech, right to public assembly. And we've seen through history that all three of these things have faced their own contradictions. And that has always been the state that has been the reason why the contradiction manifests itself, that it rises up out of a sea of contradictions, that it rises up out of a sea that is irreconcilable with the people whom they dominate, a specific group of people whom they dominate, people of African descent. You see what I'm saying? So they were able to put in proper context with the police, really, their role within society. And so when they were able to connect the police with the money class, the property owners, the real estate brokers, those who trade on Wall Street, those who part of the companies and the corporations, and so therefore it's an enterprise, and of course there could be no enterprise without protection, and so this enterprise on the serve in a minority fashion, first and foremost the rich white ruling class, And so the rich white ruling class could never allow their position, their lofty position, to be taken from them in real time with bullshit. And so they understand that due to their personal ambition, they understand that due to their personal ambition, which is selfish means, which is cliquish means, the same way that they would charge street tribes, the Bloods and the Crips, the GDs, the Vice Lords, and so forth, with being cliques, with being a gang, and therefore having their own selfish means, and how their own selfish means terrorize the rest of the people within the vicinity. And so we could draw a parallel between the rich white ruling class and what they refer to as the gangs and the wanton actions of what they like to get us to believe is gangs, because they're an organized gang, they're a licensed gang. And I'm telling you, man, this is real shit. We have to make nothing up, do their own self, which means they understand, they know in their subconscious that they're going to be the ones that are going to create crimes, that they're going to be the one to create crime. They're going to be the ones who drive the crime, who drive the certain groups of us into oblivion, okay? And this is not just some, in a sense, just some type of black and white thing, some type of phenomena that affects black people. Because there's several examples that we can use to prove the case among whites themselves, which have made these relationships to a certain extent irreconcilable, such as the Irish, and what the Irish have been subjected to by the British, and which created these scenarios which pitted the British against, Scotland Yard, or pitted the British against the police force of the Brits, of the ruling crown of Greater Britain, London, being the capital of finance, which drives the situation because only a handful of men were able to prosper. It's just, so that creates an animosity, and a situation polarity, if you will, a juxtaposed relationship. And so it becomes a natural phenomenon that there will be a victor and a victim, or a perpetrator and a victim. And so this is the same thing that is taking place here in America. And so we see Jaheim as a victim of that in war terms. And man, listen, there's no holds barred tonight. It's always, you know, everything's out in the open. Everything will be said very clear. And those who may be listening, if you have any questions, comments, what have you, hit the one on your phone, you know what I'm saying, so you can get in on the discussion. But anyway, the ramifications of it, you know, which would create these types of psychologists, right, where they look at the average young black man. They see the average young black man in a much more different context than we see ourselves in relationship with the so-called government, thinking that we're citizens of this country. On paper. Everything's on paper. Everything reads well on paper. But this war against black men, and of course in any war, and this may be brutal language to some people, and it's not done out of being inconsiderate of any of the families who have lost a son, a nephew, a grandson, a cousin, a father, a brother, best friend, you know, frat brother, high school classmate. You know what I'm saying? It's not done out of insensitivity. But the reality is that in war there will be casualties. And this is the cold part about it. This is the heart-wrenching part about it. This is the heart-wrenching part about the shit. And it's very clear. There's understanding. See, they understand this type of mentality they have. If you take Laquan McDonald, who was murdered some years ago in Chicago, when you listen to the 911 call that was put out, you know what I'm saying, and you hear the dispatcher is talking, and the pig's on the other end, and so they're calling for ambulance, emergency, and whatnot, stuff like that, and so you hear the dispatch is referred to Laquan McDonald in the proper sense. I mean, she hit it right on the head. She referred to Laquan McDonald as a victim. She said the victim, and the pig had to correct her. The pig immediately corrected her and said, no, offender. You see, there's an offense and a defense. And so he was an offender, and they were put on defense, and they reacted. He lost his life. He was murdered. in cold blood. And the same scenario. What did they do? They had the body cam video, the dash cam video. What did they do? They failed to release the video to the family what they would refer to as a proper manner, in a decent fashion, according to time. And this is the same scenario with Laquan McDonald. And the pig, of course, the same scenario with the pig in Chicago, the same scenario with the pig in Gulfport, Mississippi. You know, the same story, the same protocol. What? To fabricate a story. And in their subconscious, the pig in Chicago, pig in Gulfport, understand in their subconscious that we're the ones who protect the property class. So therefore, we expect something in return. And the sky's the limit when it comes to it. In their subconscious, this is what it is. They expect to be covered in return. And so here you, the usual strategy, usual tactic of bringing it to a grand jury. What is a grand jury? And you look at the track record, and what is the grand jury has historically done? The grand jury has historically exonerated the average pig execution style murder of unarmed black men. You see, so in Chicago, they held on to the footage, and they would not release the footage. And so the people got riled up. The people began to organize. The people began to show up in mass and demonstrate, you know, in Chicago. Until a certain point of time when it become obvious, you know, that at some point that well, we're facing the possibility of a riot. We're facing the possibility of a rebellion. We understand, those of us who have become politically conscious, that white people riot, black people rebel. And it's very clear. And we can look at that from a historical point of view on what, how we see. Now, that does not mean that white people have not rebelled. You know what I'm saying? Period. But we understand those two terms as a separation. You see what I'm saying? And so you riot after winning the Super Bowl. You riot after winning the World Series. You riot after winning the World Cup. I mean, the Stanley Cup, a hot. You know, you riot after winning the NBA title. You riot after the end of the World Soccer Cup title. You see what I'm saying? So our people have historically have had to rebel. And so certain things were led finally to try to America's image getting out into the rest of the world. And so they have to always sit back, guys, before they release the footage. So they have to create a scenario, look into the footage, get an expert to look and examine the footage using these certain things that have to do with logic and persuasion due to their so-called masters of philosophy, which, you know, you and I said to say these things, you know, just to paint a very, very, very vivid, intricate, minute picture, you know, to get our people to understand. And so here, after all this time, and we see the same thing, that they would, that they, if Laquan McDonald had lunged toward this pig with a knife that he was carrying, and that he had turned and lunged toward the pig with a knife, then how come it took him so long to show the video? You know, if that's what it was, then, you know, show the video so everybody shut the fuck up, go home. It's as simple as that. You see what I'm saying? But they refused to do it. And so after so much time, lawsuit and whatnot, the video is finally shown. In a documentary, I think it was called document called 16 Shots or something like that. Okay. And you see clearly in the dash video that Laquan McDonald never approached or turned in any way, shape, or form toward this pig who murdered him, who executed him in cold blood. As a matter of fact, he went away from this pig, around the pig, away from him, overpass, and he had murdered Laquan McDonald in cold blood. And so it's the same scenario as what we see, according to the witnesses, with little brother Jaheim. With little brother Jaheim, he said his brother never, did no such thing, you know. And so if they had, you know, been telling the truth from day one, this is 2023, we asked the question, what would take them so long, you know, to want to show the video if that's, you know, what took place. Now, it's a very crafty way. It's a very crafty way that we have to understand when they release this video. This video is strategically released at a certain point in time, certain part of the video and whatnot. And of course, as with all video, which more times than not is always preceded by a photo or a picture. I had saw online, I don't know if this was the usual or the one that most people would have been able to see, but there's a still shot where you see the pig, you know, like he's still pointing or what have you, and you know, and he's in front of the store. Now, I've been around long enough to know to not necessarily trust a video, a photo shot. You know what I'm saying? Because it could be an old picture. You know, it could be a crop picture. You know what I'm saying? And we have to say these things, even if we're wrong. But it's just the thought and consideration of it. You know what I'm saying? But I saw elsewhere, if I'm correct, as another video from another I don't know if it's another business or something like that, but I vaguely remember that. And it clearly showed you know, from the articles I had read that it contradicts the story of police, the so-called police. It's and of course, the witnesses say the same. Having spoken with her brother's mother for a brief minute some weeks ago. And, you know, what she was describing, the description. It appears to me that not only was this young brother executed, you know, by Pig Nassau, but it appears to be some extracurricular activities involved in there some kind of way. Now, you know, it may be a touchy subject due to legal reasons, but it appears that this execution of this young brother just went beyond a chance encounter or just some accident that happened over a report of some young men recklessly waving weapons and whatnot, stuff like that. But I'll go as far as that. But so when you take into consideration what I've said thus far, you know, the reality is what? You know, we face these brutal realities every day. You know, the grand jury, you know, recently announced that it was not going to, they were not going to charge Pig Nassau with any crime. Or what have you. And so therefore, this is one of those things where you have a clear example. Now, we believe that's a clear example of what we've come on this, of what we've come on come to understand in terms of what is the real role of the police within society. It would appear to us that every time we're told that we live in a democracy, you know, you know, we're not in Russia, we're not in China, we're not in North Korea, or we're not in Iran, we're not in Afghanistan, you know, the so-called third world, where the people we're made to believe, that people in other parts of the world find themselves subjected to a brutal regime where there's human rights violations, and these human rights violations, you know, have been brought to the so-called UN, the United Nations, which is no more nor less than an arm, the international wing of the U.S. Empire, the U.S. Empire abroad, and which is UN is to serve and protect the interests of the white dominant countries who have lifted themselves off the backs of black and brown people, who have gotten themselves in privileged positions of black and brown people enslaving them, exploiting them, dominating them, raping, you know, their natural resources, becoming so-called power brokers, powerhouses in terms of amassing a huge military and installing themselves around the world. And so this so-called UN that was developed off of the back of what first was as a League of Nations after World War II. And these world wars that we're talking about on an international level, we could connect these wars on a local level right here in America, because the objective and the goal is the same. It's no different. It only looks different. It only appears to be different. But if we take a good glance at what we're talking about here, we understand and we come to the conclusion of what war is. But there's supposed to be these accords, these so-called Geneva Accords, I believe were set up in Switzerland, Geneva, Switzerland, and these laws about crimes against humanity. And this country has been nothing but a hypocrite in charging other countries with crimes against humanity against its citizens. And so therefore declaring the leadership, what have you, you know, those who have been in power as incompetent and therefore been labeled as living or orchestrating or ruling under a dictatorship, under a military junta, or as a regime. We say right here in America that to charge China and Russia and Iran, North Korea, with these crimes against humanity, the mistreatment of its citizens, is paramount here, right here in America. And black people are clear examples of it. Black people may know this more than anybody else besides the so-called American Indian. And of course, I'm very, cautious about using certain labels and terminology and stuff like that. But, you know, this is, you know, the common vernacular that we can understand when we talk about people who have been subjected to genocide, those who have been subjected to a Holocaust, you know, the African Holocaust. You know what I'm saying? But you know, we're usually you know, when we think of that term, you know, that term has been usually applied to white Jewish people who went through a Holocaust as a result of the Nazi regime under Hitler. But we see the same thing here in this country, and so therefore we should at some point in time it would become inevitable that this country has with its continual war against black men since the ending of physical slavery, when we lost, when we began to lose value, when we began to lose material value, and I probably won't be able to say this enough, we believe that we can connect the relationship, the valueless in the black male, when he began to lose value as a result of the ending of physical slavery, over two groups of white men having some type of discrepancy on how they would continue ahead due to the so-called Industrial Revolution. And again, it is because the historical legacy of leadership, the orthodox view of leadership that has been foisted onto the backs of black people, that has been constantly beat into the minds of black people, that black people have not been able to understand the conditions which lead to these concrete realities. Part of this concrete reality is these encounters with the police in Germany. The German police pretty much was known as the SS, the Gestapo. We see the German SS, the Gestapo, in the police right here in America. There are certain brothers and sisters who I've heard say making the comparison, and it began to really dawn on myself that was a legit comparison. And so we see you know, no different than what Hitler's SS was doing in Germany. We see no different than what they were doing, the Nazi regime was doing to, in particularly, the white Jewish segment of the population in that part of Europe, the mistreatment, the attempted genocide against them. And we see it no different than the attempted genocide and mistreatment of black people here in this country by this regime, by this so-called government, which parades itself around the world as a so-called august body of men of ethics and morals and whatnot, all the material trappings of bullshit, the cosmetics and whatnot. You know, America does better than any other country around the world, better disguising itself, camouflaging itself, where some other countries are less sophisticated in that sense to mask its true self. Just like someone who has, you know, facial scars, you know, and, you know, women who rely on cosmetics and Revlon, which is such a lucrative industry. And until, you know, at the end of the day, when they have to go to sleep, they have to take the makeup off and you get to see the real them. This is what we're doing. We want the people to understand the real America that we live, and that as a result of the real America, little Jaheim is no longer with us, you see. And so at some point in time, it must dawn on us that we should bring America before the world. And this isn't anything new. This is anything new at all. This is actually what our great hero, our great leader, Malcolm X, was in the process of doing before he was murdered, before he was assassinated by agents of the state. And so, you know, the track record speaks for itself. The track record speaks for itself. And I want to just, you know, get these things out of the way, because at some point you can push your people only to so much to a certain extent. And just like, you know, when pressure breaks a water pipe, it becomes a natural response on the part of the pipe to break due to the type of pressure that the pipe, you know, has finally, you know, succumbed to, has reached its climax. And so this is what we're facing here in this country. I think in a certain perspective, you know, you take a look at the black male collective, and you take a look at the black male collective, and the black male collective time also has to begin to realize, you know, that there's certain things that, you know, we have to do to organize ourselves and, you know, bring this to a halt, or to a great minimalization of it. We don't expect anything to be perfect, but at the same time, black men must come to understand, you know, the realities of living under a system that has never valued them, you know, from day one since, you know, we were so-called freed, you know, from slavery, and we lost value with the capitalist machine. And is no more, no less than that. And this is the reason, even in the subconscious of you know, the George Floyd phenomenon that had taken place as a result of George Floyd being the victim of a high tech lynching. And what do we mean by a high construction era? The beginning of the so called Ku Klux Klan, all the way into Jim Crow and whatnot, the 50s and the 60s. And a historical legacy of the lynching of black men by a rope. And in the process of that, a phallic ritual on the part of white men who were simply expressing their impotence, their powerlessness over women, if we will, which resulted in these sick rituals of castrating black men at a lynching of black men. And so today, that the pigs have been instructed and trained in certain tactics and certain methods. You know, and so this is what we mean by high-tech lynching. And so this is what George Floyd had become a victim of. And it is due to the people enraged, a response, a natural response. And so this is what you've seen as a result of the murder of George Floyd, you know. And, of course, certain things had to have become noticeable, very noticeable by the state. Of course, America had been put up before the whole world. And not only had America been put up before the whole world, but America had been witnessed around the world where other nations, other people had amassed themselves out in the streets in foreign countries to show their displeasure with the high-tech lynching of George Floyd. And it said a lot. And so in the subconscious of certain individuals, it become fashionable. It become fashionable to come up with the slogan after all of this time that Black Lives Matter, you see. And so it says a lot. It is almost as if Black lives had never mattered in the first place. And that Black people sometimes we've suffered from so much psychological damage that we've all but totally been turned inside out. And so we can tend to forget ourselves. We can tend to place ourselves second and place others before us. And because of the type of psychological trauma that we've been through. And so even amongst ourselves, we've forgotten that our lives had always mattered in the first place. And so this is sort of new thing, a new old thing, or an old new thing. And so therefore, the phenomena of Black Lives Matter, which spread like wildfire. And we say, the People's Political Party, we understand that. We don't necessarily have a problem with it. We believe that we can go one better. We say Black Power Matters. When we say Black Power Matters, when we talk about power, what do we mean by power? The power to determine one's own destiny. Power to be in control of one's own life. You understand what I'm saying? Under a system that the people see as viable. One of cohesion, one of sensibility, one of rationale, one of complete sanity. But at the same time, you know, not expecting things to be perfect. But when we say Black power, because power has to be in the hands of people, and it is people who are going to have to understand that at some point in time that the power has to be wrested from those who have gotten themselves in a lofty position using violence. They've turned their violence in such a manner, in such a way, as we refer to it now as scientific violence, using science and technology. You see, and if you look at the track record of the so-called police being trained around the country, who's doing the training? Who's doing the instructing? Who's the one that's pushing the philosophy of what the police must be, the ideology of the police, its role in society? And when you take a good look, you see that is an ex-military officer, Lieutenant David Grossman, who was, to my understanding, if he hasn't been bumped from number one, has been the number one head trainer of not only military, but law enforcement around the country. And so here you have someone who is, also has written literature, who is also has written books. Okay, one of these books is called On Killing. It's as simple as that, On Killing. And this book, not only that book, but his other literature that it's written, is required reading. It's required reading for law enforcement officers. Is required reading, and he makes no bones about it. He don't mince any words when he speak about violence. He makes no apology when he trains and speaks and holds seminars you know, law enforcement officers, because that's what happened. He makes no apology when he speaks about violence. He simply tells them that you're here, that you are men, that you are men and women of violence, you know, and you must be superior in your violence. You know, he paints the picture you know, your role or your job is to deal with violence or face violence. Well, what form of violence is he talking about? What form of violence is he talking about? You know, how does that violence come about in order for them to become violent? And so this is the type of psychology that's being spewed around the country, you know, the so-called law enforcement. And this is not even brought up. I would be willing to bet, even though I don't bet, but I would be willing to bet that this type of understanding is not usually discussed amongst our people, the so-called leadership. And this is no personal attack. This is not some type of vendetta or anything. If anything, it is taken as a criticism, because the people are constantly subjected to a certain type of attitude or a certain type of response when it comes to those of us who live in the so-called ghetto, those of us who live in the so-called hood. You understand what I'm saying? And of course, you know, with this class issues, of course, that also has to come into play. Certain cases have been declared as high profile murders, high profile cases, as though the other cases that had not become at the top of the chart, as though those are low profile cases. You see. And so this is a class issue that we also have to deal with. So we also have to have some internal issues that we have to deal with as a people in order to be able to bring some type of reality of which direction that black people collectively ought to be going, what should be the goal of black people, actuality, what is the ultimate remedy for to end police terror. You know, and if you take a look at history, it has always been the people who have made their decision, who have come to the decision, have come to reality that they have to take the power. They have to take their own lives back into their own hands. And, you know, some say, well, you advocating violence and stuff like that. No, the state is always the one that determines what the playing field is going to be about. The state is always the one that chooses the weapon. The state is always the one that heightens the type of confrontation or possible confrontation that it may be. And so we look at the state and see the state no more, no less than a state of using violence as a method of control. And so this is why, unfortunately, that there will be another Jaheim McMillan, as there has been as of late, you know. And those of us who, you know, it could get to be a little bit utopian to a certain extent, you know, and yeah, you know, everybody wants justice. Everybody wants justice. You know what I'm saying? We all want justice. It's a normal thing to want justice. It's a normal thing. It would be no different if Jaheim had been murdered by another 15-year-old such as himself. This young 15-year-old would have been, you know, chances he would have been captured. They would have had no problem to go, and the first thing would have come to their mind. The first thing would have come to their mind, oh, there's video footage of the shoot. There's video footage of Jaheim being shot by another youth, another teenager. That would have been the first thing that they would have done, seize the video footage. And they would have looked in the surrounding area, any type of other angle or any type of business in that vicinity that also had cameras and whatnot, and would have went clean there and confiscated the video footage to get all angles, use technology and whatnot, you know, to get a picture, and then take that picture and then put that picture up in the news. Wanted for murder, take that picture and blow it up, put it over the billboard over the interstate where everybody can see. You see, call this number, Crime Stoppers and whatnot. You know, it would be no problem. And it would be no problem. And, of course, the apprehension of this young person who had taken this young brother's life would naturally go through the judicial process, where they were talking about, let the do his job. And so, you know, the usual. This young man would have been brought to trial, and found guilty, by a jury and given a sentence. That's justice. That's justice. So here we have, the murder of Jaheim McMillan. You know, this time it's a pig. And so what is the problem here? What is the problem here? And this is a problem that people, some people, for the record, say they don't understand. You know, some of our people would say that they don't understand why he would do this and whatnot. You know, he was unarmed. He had his hands up. I'm trying to think of the brother who they shot recently. The brother fled, out of his, his apartment, whatever, something like that, out the back. And he was unarmed, and they showed the body cam. And you see the brother with his hands up, and the pig still shot him. Now, see, CNN showed that footage. They showed that footage. They had no problem showing that footage. No problem showing that footage. And you have to ask yourself, what was the reason why they would show the footage? What would be the reason why they would show the footage? And the reason why they would show the footage is because they want the public to see. They want the public to see that this brother, and you can hear the brother say, you shot me, before his, life went out of his body, But the reason why they would show this video footage is because they want public to see that these so-called officers tried to save his life and that they were, what is the word here? Bothered, they were heavily troubled. And that's the whole, that was the purpose of it. So you can hear these two officers. So when it comes time to prosecute them, you can say it's negligent homicide. It's not murder. You can say it's negligent homicide. You see? And so if the story, would hold up, then, that's what would be. The witnesses tell a different story. The witnesses tell a different story. No. The witnesses tell a different story. And which will always be contradictory. It will always be against the so-called official version here. Will always be against the so-called official version of what, they were saying that had taken place. And so, again, we are at a stage, some of us find it troubling, this reality, in our subconscious. Black women, more and more, as we go, become more and more afraid of their teenage sons. When their teenage sons leave the house in the morning to go to school or, to go out as teenagers, like we did when we were young, we were youth, to go to a movie or to go to a dance, do teenage shit, somebody has the car, somebody's parents let them use the car, to go to a dance, whatnot, and stuff like that, do teenage shit, And you see these sisters around the country. It's becoming fashionable, for black women to develop a strong fear of their son being harmed or being the next victim, the next casualty of the war against black men. And of course, in that self, there's the ramifications of just that. I sort of touched on it when I was saying that the lynching of black men and the phallic ritual of removing the black male genitalia, at the lynching of a black man. It's in their subconscious. It's in black women's subconscious, you know, and they understand and they clearly know. I don't necessarily believe that it's the women. You know, I believe that it's the men. I believe that the women may understand it better than the men. You see, that this is a war against the black male. And so black men can no longer run and stick their head in the sand. You know, black men can no longer pretend like they don't understand why it's still taking place. They no longer understand, why they don't understand that this ain't the 60s anymore. This ain't the 50s, you know, and that we live in the greatest democracy in the world. And so they're having trouble trying to figure out why the police keep killing black men. It's in their subconscious. It's a thing that I like to refer to as psychological acrobatics, you know, to sort of flip our way out of reality. But it's gotten to the stage, you know, the black men can no longer pretend like they don't understand. That black men are going to have to step forward. You know, and we take our own lives back into our own hands. Now, there may be those who may be thinking that I'm speaking subliminally. What I'm doing is I'm speaking about a reality. And the reality is that we're sitting on a powder keg to the inherent contradiction between black men and the so-called police. And, of course, you know, Huey P. Newton, one of the founders of the Black Panther Party, had properly diagnosed the so-called police. And when he properly diagnosed the so-called police, he had come to the conclusion that the police was the pig. The police was paid because of the nasty treatment that police had meted out against black people, which would draw a correlation between how nasty a pig is in pen. And so therefore, their art guru, you know, Bible Emory Douglas, had decided that one day that they would take a pig, police uniform on his pig, and the police hat, and the billy club. And that is how it come to be, due to a relationship that has historically been irreconcilable. John F. Kennedy, a white president, the realities himself on an international scale, it understood that the conditions of black and brown people around the world who had been subjected to white world supremacy, imperialism, so-called international interests of the American government, which is no more, no less than the confiscation of the natural resources that this government, material ambitions, had come to find themselves dependent on. And so understanding that that will create conflict, and that John F. Kennedy had drew the conclusion that those who make peaceful change impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And this is a white man who said, because he understood the realities of the blowback of imperialism. And what you see here in America as the local police in your local cities, in your local towns, in your local parishes, in your local counties, in your local boroughs. And what you see is the police on the local level, the first line of defense, standing armed, And just the fact that it's a local standing army in an escalated form. Where you see the police becoming more and more militarized. How you doing? The police the police become more and more militarized. To the extent that the military itself has been providing military equipment to the police. And there's a rap duo named Dead Prez who've been in the game in the song. And so what you see is the local police on an international scale is referred to as the United States military. The United States military main goal and objective is to protect the international interests of the rich white ruling class capitalists who have expanded their enterprises beyond the borders of America. And so we draw these correlations. We connect the dots, not only on the local level, but on the international level. The wanton savagery that's carried out against black and brown people, disguised as the war on terrorism. And when they speak about a war on terror, nobody knows that better than black people and black men collectively. It's a war on terror. The red man, the American Indians, the Native Americans can speak on that. Also, the fact that we can connect the dots and the realities of that, those who have been subjected to it will naturally start responding in a more heightened manner. And this is what made Stokely Carmichael, who became known as Kwame Ture in his transformation as an African. And this is in his acceptance of being an African and the condition that the African had found himself in on the hills of physical slavery. And when he began to explain how things reach a boiling point, and he had almost prophesied what he had spoke about 50 years ago, it's staring us right in the face. You know, it's a natural thing. And so the people become heightened because they've been exposed to the contradictions. And so when they become exposed to the contradiction, then their response begins to grow in a much more heightened form. This is what the state would be concerned about. And so therefore, they have to control the narrative. And to control the narrative is to say that there will be no charges against Pig Nassau, according to the grand jury. However, we will accept a civil suit. And this has become almost the norm. This has become almost fashion. As though our young boys have some type of monetary value that will wash away their blood. And this is the thing that we're becoming more and more socialized with. And justice will keep eluding us. So what does it take to get justice, to achieve justice? How do you define justice? What would that justice look like? You know, because, you know, people can have their own definition of justice. I would be willing to bet that the mothers of all the victims, the sons who have been legally murdered by the police, would love to see, as I said a little early, as though it was just another nigga who pulled the trigger. And he would get a sentence with no problem. And so we find ourselves in one heck of a situation And in the real world, in real time, the police would never waver. And what I mean by would never waver is because as long as the system of capitalism stays intact, its operation, even Machiavellian persona. You know, and you know, we're gonna say some of these terms because all of us are not illiterate. You know, all of us are not to the point where we can't understand so-called big words. You know, and even if it is that we feel the brunt of the blow due to the experience, it is this system that drives the police. It would not be rational if one has a problem with mice in their house. It would not be rational to think that you can get rid of all the mice and not seek the rat. It would be irrational. It would be unreasonable. It would be unreasonable. And unfortunately, there are those who are in our midst. And this will go back to class antagonism. Each one of us as individuals, yeah, you know, we all want to make something of ourselves. We all want to make something of ourselves. You know, they ain't a nigga that don't want nothing. Contrary to what some of us would like to believe. But we have issues, internal issues, and some of these internal issues have misguided black people collectively. I say that there's nothing wrong with being the father. There's nothing wrong at all with being the father. As long as the one that's leading you has the right playbook, has a playbook that's practical, that's realistic, that knows how to scrutinize the problems that we have, that we face collectively. But that's been the unfortunate part. And this is why certain groups and certain organizations have been treated different as other organizations. You know? And that is the reason why. You know, certain groups have been treated different because they were able to articulate the problems that black people face collectively in such a way where the masses of the people could embrace it. And so when you're talking about the people, who you're talking about? You know, more of us live in the so-called urban environments than the rest of us. So in these urban environments, I'm no more, no less than contained structures. And it is the responsibility of the police to serve and protect. And you can only put that in a proper context when you look at it like that and start saying, okay, but damn, if you put it like that, well, who are they serving and who they're protecting? Because we would have no need for these terms like urban and rural. We have no need for these terms like the suburbs. We have no need for them at all, period. So this is the true role of the police, to serve and protect. And so we're talking about the establishment, the business sector, the merchant sector, those who sell you so-called goods, goods and services, those who provide the goods to keep the rest of the masses satisfied, to keep the rest of the masses pacified, so they can have enjoy from a sensual perspective. And so here you have a family dollar. And so here you have some youth near a family dollar. And the response is what? It's like oil and water. And so it's only natural that you have a set of people, a group, which comes into contact with another world, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that everybody lives in the ghetto. This stereotype, this foolishness about he's ghetto or she's ghetto. Yeah, we're all ghetto. You know, but this is the deadly mix. And so this is why we say that the police is paid to protect property. And when the police is paid to protect property, the police take on a certain persona when it is time to protect that property. When it's time to encounter what they see as an enemy combatant, what they see as the threat, what they see as the problem. And this is the usual response that takes place. This is why now video is becoming fashionable. It's becoming a fashionable thing to do. And before Rodney King, black people could really get no justice. And black people start developing a complex. Black people start developing a thought only if we can catch them doing it. Only if we can catch them doing it. Only we can get them on video doing the shit. We can, maybe we can get some justice. Maybe we can get some justice. It was finally caught on video. Rodney King got the shit beat out of him. But somehow, these pigs were exonerated. Somehow, some kind of way, these pigs were exonerated, even though we had them on video doing. And so what happened? The LA Rebellion. And so what did they have to do? They had to go back to the drawing board and say, well, look, we'll please both sides. We'll convict two, and we'll let other two go. And that was the final outcome. So that was a deal. And the leadership, we got some justice. And so we used to say that. Now we got all kind of video. Philando Castile murdered right in front of his queen and little daughter on live social media. And these are the realities that we no longer can run from. In the Bible, but those who understand the Bible, the Israelites. And I want to be careful right here with that. I don't want to go too far. Even if you look in those stories, you will see what the God that they know had told them. You take one step forward and so in verbatim, you take one step forward, if you take two steps forward, I'll take one with you. And we're reaching a brink. We're reaching the brink. And this is our reality. And so we see little brother Jaheim as a victim of the war against black men. Contrary to what others may say, those who may be from another class, hell, if they can explain it any better, People's political party is listening. We don't say this as a necessary challenge or anything. You know, we don't say this speaking arrogantly. Malcolm X taught us that basically if we understood our position, our conditions from a historical perspective, then we can get out of this position. We can get out of these conditions. Some of us declare ourselves to be revolutionary because there's nothing wrong with being a revolutionary. Revolutionary simply means the one who brings about the revolutionary transformation of society out of decadence into one of humanity. And so we live in a decadent society, decadent North America, which tried to pride itself as being a democracy, to try to transport democracy around the world, even in its own historic track record of trying to transport democracy around the world. It has failed. It has failed. And so we have to look at why it has failed. The reason why it has failed, because a handful of rich white men have taken the word democracy and have placed a monopoly on it. This democracy, more, no more, no less, is a simple code word for the dominance of the capitalist system. Using such things as the vote as camouflage. Unfortunately, we can't vote out police terror. And you see, in the Islamic world, just as in the Islamic world, as meted out in the Islamic world, you know, for instance, drug dealers, drug traffickers, whatnot, they receive the death penalty. This is our reality, what we face every day. And so, unfortunately, some black mother, and it's almost as if to say, in a hardcore way, in a hardcore manner, all black mothers, write your name on a piece of paper and put it in this big old jar. The Grim Reaper come. Shuffle the jar around and dig his hand in there and come up with one of the names of one of the mothers whose names is in that jar. Your child is next. And this is something cold. This may seem like it's cold to say, but this is our reality. We're going to have to step our game up. It is what it is. This is our reality. So we say to the Jaheim McMillan family that we understand that this decision that has been made to not charge Pig Kenneth Nassar with murder, or for that matter, anything, we see it as more than a slap in the face, the so-called American citizens, the descendants of those who built, who laid the foundation to the capitalist system. And those who enslaved our ancestors had gotten filthy rich off sordid wealth, unearned sordid wealth. And it's almost as if, what do you tell a mother who's lost her son? We're out of words. We're out of words. We're out of words. So we're going to conclude, you know, this show tonight. And we hope that we've been able to raise the conscious level, even if it's a little bit, if it's a little bit. Those who may be listening, part of our struggle, in the liberation struggle, it's the struggle in doing that. We believe that once we raise the conscious level of the people, then the people can begin to develop the state of mind that they have to take their own lives back into their own hands. And that this system, the way it's structured, its ambitions, could never be our friend. Could never give us collective justice. Because we have no value in this system collectively as black men. And we see that in other ways, such as this so-called gentrification, the land grab. That creates and furthers the conditions, the market, the so-called job market and whatnot. The CIA orchestrated dope trade. And the excuse to occupy the so-called black neighborhood. Serve and protect. So on that note, we want to thank those who have been listening. Stay tuned next week for another show, Political Education in Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by the People's Political Party, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, with your host, Chairman and our Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and our assault technician on the ones and twos, our Minister of Communication, Sister Imani O'Shun. And we say black power, the black people specifically, because again, black power matters. But we also are cognizant enough to say all power to the people, and that the power should always be in the hands of the people, which is true democracy, that the people can determine, not a handful of rich white men who want to dominate, not only here, but around the world, and the whites who are in tow with them, and the non-whites who are in tow with them. And so on that note, we out of here.
Hit me!
There's not a minute to spare.
Don't worry.
There's not a minute to spare.
Don't worry.
Going, going, gone. A long time ago, but don't you see how late they're reacting? They only come and they come when they wanna. They'll get the more truck and then bomb the corner. They don't care cause they stay paid anyway. They treat you like an ace that can't be betrayed. I know you stumble with no use people. If your life is on the line, then you're dead today. Late comers with the late comers, such as a body bag in disguise, y'all, I'll bet ya. I call them body snatchers cause they come to fetch you with an autopsy ambulance that says that text ya. They are the kings cause they swing amputations. Arms and legs and them in compilation. I can prove it to you, watch the rotation. It all adds up to a f***ing situation. So get up and get down. 911 is joking, your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up and get down. 911 is joking, your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? The doctors huddle up and call a flea flicker. Reason why I say that cause they flick you up like fleas. They be less nasty while you're calling on your name. Or do the stream, so go to limp. Thinking you are first when you really are dim. You better wake up and smell a real flavor. Cause 911 is a fake life saver. So get up and get down. 911 is joking your town. Get up and get down. Late 911, where's the late crown? Get up and get down. 911 is joking your town. Get up and get down.